Brothers and sisters in the Lord, Sunday or the Lord's Day is always a day of celebration. As Christians, we observe Sunday and worship on Sunday because that's the day of our Lord's resurrection. Our Lord Jesus triumphed over the grave on the first day of the week, and so throughout history, the church has kept the Lord's Day as the day of worship and rest. Yes, we're going to be celebrating Easter in a couple of days, but there's also a sense in which every Sunday is like Easter, because every Sunday commemorates our Lord's resurrection from the dead. Every time we come to the first day of the week, it is the day of our Lord's resurrection, and as such, it is a day for joy and celebration. However, Good Friday is very different, isn't it? Good Friday is what we might call a fast day rather than a feast day. Easter's a feast day. Actually, every Lord's Day is a feast day. But Good Friday is more of what we would call a fast day. It's been a day in which Christians soberly reflect upon the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we know that Jesus overcame all that he suffered and that he triumphed over the grave. We know that our Lord's sufferings gave way to the victory and triumph of Easter. But for right now, we focus simply upon the passion and humiliation of our Lord Jesus. We remember all that he endured. And we remember why he endured, that he should be the Savior and the sacrifice for our sins. So this is a time to reflect upon the sufferings of our Lord. And so for the message today, we're going to turn to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 27. I would also recommend that you have Psalm 22 open before you, because that's an important background passage for the text that we're going to spend our time looking at today. Now, in Matthew 27, we have Matthew's account of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. And in verse 46, we have one of the final sayings of our Lord right before he died. So let's look at that passage together. Matthew 27, 46. These are the words that our Lord spoke from the cross at the hour of his death. It says, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these, the words of our Lord Jesus, as we hear them in the Holy Scripture. We pray, Father, for your blessing as we consider them together. In Jesus' name, amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Those are the words that our Lord cried out from the cross at the hour of his death. And what is important for us to remember and recognize is that those words come from the 22nd Psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? Is in fact the opening line of Psalm 22, a psalm that had been written by the great King David roughly 1,000 years before our Lord uttered those words from the cross. Now in Psalm 22, we have a prayer of David from a time when he felt forsaken by the Lord his God. It is the prayer of a man who is going through a time of overwhelming misery and anguish, a man who feels like he has been abandoned and forsaken by the Lord. David begins the prayer with that agonizing question, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then as the psalm continues, David describes to the Lord the dreadful and painful experiences that have led him to utter those words. He speaks of being scorned by everyone and despised by the people. David tells of how people mock him. They make fun of him. They make fun of the fact that he trusts in the Lord, and yet it seems that the Lord has not delivered him. David speaks of his enemies surrounding him. These bulls of Bashan encircle him. He says that like lions that tear their prey, these men have gathered and they're ready to tear him apart. These dogs, he says, these villains have come to attack him. They're confident. They are already dividing his clothes and casting lots for his garments. He is being poured out like water. His bones are out of joint. His heart has turned to wax. His mouth is dried up. His tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth. It seems that he's about to die. He's about to go down to the dust of death. That was the experience that David spoke of in Psalm 22. He was mocked. He was attacked. His enemies were having their way with him. His life looked like it could be coming to an end. He was being tormented. He was being poured out in death. And it seemed to David that the Lord had abandoned him. Where was the Lord in this? Why hadn't the Lord answered his cries? David puts it this way in verses 1 and 2 of the psalm. He says to God, why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Anguish, misery, a feeling of abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's the despair that we hear about in Psalm 22. That's the experience that David described in his prayer to the Lord. In his desperate situation, it seemed to David that he had been forsaken by the Lord. Now, while David wrote this psalm, and while David certainly experienced something of the anguish and sorrow that is described in this psalm, Psalm 22 is not ultimately fulfilled in the life of David. No, this psalm of suffering, like so many of the other passages in the Psalms and prophets, is ultimately fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David. This prayer that David prayed in Psalm 22 is ultimately, and in the fullest sense, the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is his prayer. This is his suffering that is ultimately described in the 22nd Psalm. Our Lord is the man of Psalm 22. Our Lord is the one who would suffer such things and endure such things that would lead him to cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Our Lord is the one who experienced the full reality and meaning of what this psalm describes. Let's go back for a moment and think about the night of our Lord's betrayal. Remember, he went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the garden, our Lord repeatedly prayed to his Father, to his heavenly Father, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. What was our Lord praying about? What did it mean when he said, let this cup pass from me? What was the cup? His death? The cross? Yes, but even more than that. Our Lord knew that he was to be the man of Psalm 22. Our Lord knew the words of Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. And he knew these scriptures spoke of the suffering and anguish that was to come upon him. He would experience the anguish described in that psalm, the sorrow and the suffering. He would be mocked. He would be surrounded by enemies that would take his life. He would have his hands and feet pierced and be poured out like water in death. But even more, he would bear the wrath of God and know the feeling of being the feeling of being abandoned and forsaken. As the Lord Jesus bore the sins of his people and endured the cursed death of the cross, suffering the wrath of God for sin, he would know the sorrow, the darkness, and the feeling of abandonment. Our Lord Jesus would drink the cup that the Father gave him. He would experience the depths of sorrow and anguish for our sakes. He would bear sin. He would be cursed. He would bear the punishment. He would suffer the judgment of God against sin. And he would know these things in such a way and in such a depth that would lead him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now remember, our Lord Jesus, he is the only begotten Son of God. He is the beloved Son of the Father, the Lord of glory. who had always enjoyed communion and fellowship with the Father. He loved the Father, and he'd always known the joy of the Father. But there on the cross, our Lord would die the death of the cursed man and suffer the wrath of God, the Father. On the cross, our Lord was the man of Psalm 22. On the cross, he experienced such anguish and sorrow so that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is the cup that our Lord Jesus prayed about in the garden. And that is why our Lord prayed that that cup should pass from him. But of course, our Lord also prayed, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And so our Lord did the Father's will by going to the cross and drinking the cup that was given to him. And as we read about Jesus being crucified, we find him experiencing all the horrible realities of the 22nd Psalm. Again, listen to the words of the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 27. I read them for you at greater length. It says, when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Here in these sufferings of Jesus, we see the mocking, we see the hatred, we see the prophetic words of Psalm 22 being realized. As David had said so many years before, many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So it was for our Lord Jesus Christ on the day of his crucifixion. And then at last the ninth hour came. Darkness was over the land, we are told. And our Lord Jesus, who had borne our sin and suffered the curse, and who had experienced the wrath and judgment of God, cried out at last, my God, why have you forsaken me? I know we have a sense of what was happening. We can read the descriptions, we can hear those words, but I don't think we can truly or fully fathom all that was behind our Lord's cry in that moment. We can read this, and we can simply read it and stand in awe of our Lord Jesus and the suffering he endured. And then Matthew tells us that our Lord cried out again and he gave up his spirit. Sorrow, anguish, darkness. On the cross, our Lord experienced a death like no other man. It was a death unlike any other man has ever died. In his death, he fulfilled the words of David and died as the man of Psalm 22. And he did this for us. Remember that. The Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross for the glory of God and to fulfill the plan of God for the salvation of his people. He did this to be the Savior of the world. He did this because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He did this so that your sins could be forgiven and washed away by His precious blood. Our Lord experienced these things to bring salvation and life to the world. As the Apostle Paul says, "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." If you're a Christian, you can say the very same thing. The life I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for us on the cross. And so we as Christian people glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in the cross. We glory in the death, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our Lord. Here in the cross, we see the wisdom of our God. We see the salvation of our God. Now there's one final thing I want us to see. When Jesus cries out to the Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When he cries out those opening words of Psalm 22 and then dies, it looks like a terrible and bitter end. Here is our Lord crying out about being forsaken by God, and then he breathes his last. It might seem at first sight like a terrible, even hopeless end. But if we're familiar with the 22nd Psalm, we know that this is not the end. As you read Psalm 22, you find that it begins with great distress and anguish and suffering. It describes a terrible situation, but it doesn't end that way. How does Psalm 22 end? It ends with joy and with victory. It ends with salvation and praise. The psalm that begins, my God, why have you forsaken me, goes on to end in triumph. Listen with me to the last 10 verses of the psalm. It says, the psalmist says, our Lord says, "I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring it to a people yet unborn, he has done it." Victory, salvation, resurrection. This 22nd Psalm, which speaks of such anguish and despair, ends in joy and celebration. It ends with resurrection. It ends with the joy of Easter. Yes, there's sorrow and death. There is the cry of anguish, but it gives way to victory. God brings deliverance and salvation. And that is how it was to be for our Lord Jesus, the man who truly fulfills the words of Psalm 22. There was Good Friday. There was a season of unspeakable sorrow when he endured all the pains of the cross and the wrath of God and cried out to God in anguish. But there would also be Easter Sunday. Our Lord experienced the suffering described in Psalm 22, verses 1 through 21. He would fulfill the psalm's suffering and cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But he would also know the deliverance described at the end of the psalm. The cry from the cross would not be the end. It could not be the end. The Lord God would bring salvation. There would be resurrection. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he endured. We thank you, Father, for the cross where our Lord offered that cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? And what we thank you, Father, for what he endured as our Savior. We pray, Father, that we would stand in awe of him, of our blessed Savior, that we would remember his sufferings and live in hope of his resurrection and victory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.